How's everybody doing this morning? Boy, everybody, is anybody awake? All right, I'm excited. I don't know about you. You know, I used to come out and say, I hope you had a great week. You know, we can't change last week. I'm excited about this next week. I'm excited about what God is doing and what God is up to. And this is just an exciting time. You know, every week that goes by is a week closer to getting into our building, all right? We need to see that. Every week that goes by, we're a week closer. They did some awesome things down there this week. I mean, it was amazing. I watched these guys dig a trench out to the storm drain and hook into the storm drain. One day, they went out there, cut the asphalt, dug a hole, put those pipes in, re-asphalted, and got it all ready to go. One day, I asked the guy, I went by, and I said, did you guys take a lunch today? He goes, no, we just ate as we worked today. We wanted to get it out of the street. One day, they went out that street, and parking lot, I mean, you drive over by, almost all the underground in the parking lot is done. I mean, all the pipes are in, and they're going, and every week's getting closer, you know, and it's an exciting time in our church, and our building is almost there. But my challenge, and with this message series, and what I want to do as we get closer to it, is remind us, our building is going to be done, but are we going to be the Christians that we want to be when we go in? Are we going to be the church that we want to be when we walk into that church? Are we going to be Christ-like? Will they see something different in us when we walk into that church and they see us hanging around the church and standing around the church and watching us come and go during the week and on weekends? When the community who has seen that building going up, you know, will we be the church that we really want to be? And so I begin this series, Kaleo, and my point is God has called us to be different than the world. God has called us out. And this is who we want to be. And so I want to challenge us, and I'm going to keep challenging us to be Christ-like as we get ready for our building. So that when we step in, it's not about the building. That's not the church. We're the church. And that we're Christ-like. And so I want to challenge us in this way. And last week we kind of looked at that we're called to care. And we kind of followed along and looked at this idea of compassion. That we're called to care and we're called to minister to others and to serve others and to care. And this week, I want to look at this idea that we're called to be generous. That we're called to generosity. And this is one area I want to compliment the church on. We have this verse that kind of sets the stage. Look at this verse with me. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. We're called to be Christ-like. We're called to be like Jesus. And so that's our challenge. To care like Jesus. And this morning, I want us to think to be generous and generosity. And this is an area that I think we can really compliment the church on. Look at the definition. I gave you a definition there. Generosity, willingness and liberality in giving away one's money, time, and etc. I want to make sure you see it. It's not just about money, all right? It's about your time. It's about who you are. It's about sharing your life. And I want to kind of go with this because, you know, as we talk about generosity, if you're like most and you're like me, the first thing that's going to come to my mind is money. You know, it's going to be about money. So we are going to get in there, but this is one thing this church is really a generous church. Now, I don't know, you know, I make it a practice for me that I don't know what anybody gives. I don't know, and I don't handle the money in the church. I don't even want you to give me, sometimes people say, oh, I'm not going to be there. Can you pass this on to the managers of the money, Ron and them that take care, Ron, Linda, and Martha as the trustees that watch over the money. And I don't want to touch it. I've just always made it a practice. But Ron calls and tells me, we're on budget, we're not. Ron kind of keeps me posted on how we're doing. And we are a generous church. I don't know what everybody gives. I know there's some that are doing well. Some of you might need to grow. I don't know. It's just something I don't know. But we are a generous church. I mean, when we did our building campaign, we did that building campaign in an average church. An average church in a three-year giving campaign will equal your one-year budget. Well, our one-year budget at that time was a little over $100,000. And so a good three-year giving campaign would be $100,000 giving. A little greater one would be $200,000. An exceptional church would be $300,000. Well, you know where we were? We were between good, and exceptional. We had about $260,000. You guys are a generous church. And so as I looked at the message and wanted to share, and it's like, God, why this message? We're doing pretty good here. Well, we still got to pay the building now. We got a loan coming up, you know. And you guys have been great. Most of us did our three-year campaign. I kept my three, you know, I did my three-year pledge. I haven't stopped. And many of you have done the same and been given to the campaign and been and continued. And we're doing really good in this area. But we always need some encouragement. Maybe you haven't tapped in now, and maybe this is going to be a challenge for you to say, maybe this is an area I need to look at. And so I just want to kind of talk about generosity this morning, and I want us to kind of look at it. Look at the scripture as Paul was writing, as Paul trying to set the stage. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindly kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So what I want to do this morning, I want to look at that grace of giving. Why don't you circle those words, the grace of giving. You got your little outline out. I'd get you to pull it out and kind of follow along this morning. I want you to circle those words, grace of giving. Because what I want to talk about this morning is not how much or how little or what anybody gives or what we should give. We're going to kind of go in that direction at the very end. But my point this morning is attitude. You know, God is not so much worried about what you give or how much or how little. He's worried about our attitude. You can read a great passage over in Corinthians when Paul was writing to the Corinthian church in the same area here. I think it's chapter 9. And a kind of a fun translation says, God loves a hilarious giver. Attitude. You read the Gospels, you read the biographies of Jesus. I'm going to call them the biographies. It's the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as Jesus was teaching that one time, that poor widow went by and dropped in the two coins. And it was all she had. And it wasn't about what she gave. And when Jesus was talking about it, Jesus was talking about it was her attitude. So what I want us to do is I want us to look at our attitudes. Our attitude towards what God has blessed us with. How God has blessed us. So I just want to kind of follow around and kind of look at it. We began with a story last week. Anybody remember the story we talked about last week? It was called The Good. What? I didn't hear you guys. The Good. All right. Well, we're going to go back to the story. I want to go back to this story, and I want us to look at this from the perspective of generosity. I want us to look at the three main figures that walk through this story. Not just look at how they cared or lack of care they had, but the attitude that was behind that care or that lack and the generosity they had. And so I want us to look at it. I'm going to use a different translation this time. This is called the Message Bible. It's a paraphrase. What this guy did, Eugene Peterson, he went out and he got some Greek and Hebrew manuscripts, and he sat down and began to translate the Bible. And as he did, he didn't translate word for word. He was translating the idea. What's he trying to communicate in today's language? And so, again, what I always tell you, if you want to read a good word for word translation, you need to get into the American Standard or the New American Standard. But this is a nice little translation called the Message Bible. Look at this story as he words it in words that we might use today. Jesus answered by telling a story. Remember the lawyer came and asked, who's my neighbor? How do I get to heaven? And Jesus tells him a story about treating your neighbors right, loving your neighbor. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, now I like this. Now, I like the way he said this part here. Luckily, a priest was on his way by. Luckily, a religious, spiritual, Christian person was walking by, this guy who just been beat up. Wouldn't you say, this guy, man, it's really lucky that this religious guy walks by. Down the road, the same. But when he saw him, he angled across the street. Then a Levite, he didn't even stop. Here's this religious guy, didn't even stop. Luckily, it wasn't very lucky, was it? Then a Levite, religious man, showed up. He also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling on the road came on him. When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. Then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back. What do you think? Which one of these 3 became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religious scholar responded. Jesus said, go and do likewise. You're familiar with the story, but what I want to look at as a story here is, what's these guys' attitudes when it talks about generosity? What were these guys doing in this picture of generosity? Because, see, generosity isn't natural. It's not natural to give everything away. It's not natural to share. Anybody ever raise a child? Anybody here raise children? Anybody? Do you have to teach a child to share? I mean, you know, you have to tell, you know, you got to share. I like the Eggo commercial. Let go of my Eggo. Anybody watch those? Anybody watch that Lego commercial? You know, let go of my Eggo. Kids do that. I found a toddler property laws. This was really cute. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be in yours anyway. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it is mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. If it's broken, it's yours. Anybody ever raised kids? Is that true for kids? You know, it's not natural to be generous. It's not natural to share. That's just not who we are. How many of us can't park a car in your garage? How many of us got so much stuff in your garage? You know, now some of you might have a 3-car garage and you're blessed, okay? You got a little extra space over there, you know? We just accumulate stuff. That's just who we are, and that's how we live, and it's mine. You know, that's mine. That's mine. And I want to talk about, you know, how hard is it to give stuff away? How hard is it to throw stuff away? Anybody? You know? I mean, I don't throw anything away. That's just my personality. I remember one time we had Laura's family, we all had the same kind of wash machine. And so, you know, one of them broke, so I needed parts, so I took parts off of that. And I took this whole wash machine apart and just put the parts away. I took the transmission of the wash machine, okay? It's about that big around, about that tall. And I put it away, you know, and I moved it 2 or 3 times when I moved. But then my brother-in-law calls up and says, you know, did you happen to keep that transmission? Because his transmission was leaking on his wife. Anybody? Yeah. Because it's mine. You save everything, you pack everything, and you keep it. Well, I want to talk about that attitude that we have. It's not natural to be generous. It's not natural to give things away. You ever pried something out of a child's hands? I mean, you know, they're holding on for dear life. So I gave 3 phrases. These aren't mine. But I found these 3 phrases. I'm trying to remember the guy's name, and it's not coming off the top of my head right now. Probably as I go through the mail, I remember who I got these from. But I had these 3 phrases. I like this. What is yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. And we see this in the story that we're reading here, the Samaritan story. Who are those characters that says, what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it? We call those the robbers. You have what I want, and I'm going to take it. And we have this attitude in us. You might want to write this word down somewhere. It's not really a blank for you, but it's a great word to write down. It's the word greed. It's the word greed. We're kind of greedy. You know, I mean, why do people? I was just reading an article last night. Was it New York? It was in New York. Flatbush area, I don't know that kind of stuff, but Flatbush, New York or something like that. She had her cell phone. I guess people run by. You know how we, you know, you ever watch somebody walking down the road texting? Anybody? You know? And somebody ran by and grabbed her cell phone and took off with her cell phone. Well, she chased him and couldn't hold him, and he got away. So she finds the cops, tells the cops. Well, the guy goes to sell the phone just around the block a little ways away. He goes to sell the phone. And so the guy goes, well, let me see it. So he hands the phone to the guy to see it that he's going to sell it to, and the guy takes off running. So he stole the phone. The guy's still in the phone. So he goes and finds the cop and tells the cop that they just stole his phone. Well, the cop starts putting two and two together. You know, he just talked to a girl, and now this guy's got a phone he's trying to sell. And they find the guy that has the phone. So they catch the guy with the phone who stole it from the guy who stole it from the girl. So now the cops are there, and this guy and this girl are saying it's their phone. You know, so now here's this cop. Now, you know, here's the stealer of the phone, the owner of the phone, and the guy who's got the phone last. You got what I want, I'm going to take it. So you know what the cop did? The cop's going, he took the phone, he looked at it and says, all right, who knows the password to get into it? So the girl knew the password, so she got her phone back. But you have what I want, I'm going to take it. I heard this happens on BART all the time. Yeah. Now, most of us are not thieves. I hope most of us are not thieves. Please don't be a thief, all right? Yeah. Most of us aren't thieves. But are we a little greedy sometimes? Are we a little envious? Are we a little unsatisfied with what we have? Do you, if you're like me, do you really ever have enough? I look at computers. I love computers, and I enjoy computers. And, you know, I got a fairly new computer, but you know what? They're newer and faster now. Are we really ever sad? You know, no, I'm not going to rob anybody, but can envy and greed be dissatisfying? I'm not content with what I have. I'm not happy. I always want more, bigger, better, newer. I mean, isn't that what the commercials always tell you? Isn't it funny that every commercial, almost everything's new? Yeah. Look at what the scripture says. It's a great passage right here. Look at what it says. Oh, watch this video first. Thank you. I forgot I had the video. This is mine.
Fasten your seatbelts. Everybody hold on!
It's mine, right? It's mine. Whatever it is, it's mine. You know, and I just think we need to step back. But look at this passage of Scripture. Then he said to them, watch out. Now, circle that word, watch out. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Now, in America, it does, all right? That's the American way. But watch out. Because, see, it's not natural to give things away. It's not natural to share. And we need to understand that we got to be on our guard. And, you know, for me, as I think about this, have you ever said this? Now, this, as I was working on this, this is what came to my mind, because I've said this. Somebody gets something. Somebody is blessed in some way. Somebody has something that I like or that I would appreciate. Have you ever said, that's not fair? That's not fair. I work hard, I deserve, I struggle, that's not fair. Is that kind of like you got what I want and greed and envy and covetousness and you know, what's yours is mine and I'm going to take it. Now, most of us aren't going to rob anybody, but we need to watch our attitude. You know, we need to watch how we look at things. And so that's the first thing I put down here. What's my attitude? Is what yours is mine? I see people and I look at things, cars and homes and computers and iPhones and I got a nice iPhone, and it works just great, but my wife got a newer one. That's not fair. We need to watch this in our generosity, in our attitudes. The next one I put down here is this. What is mine, and I'm going to keep it. It's mine, and I'm going to keep it. I'm going to hang on to it. It's what I've earned. I deserve it. I've worked hard. Now, listen, I want to make sure you understand. There's nothing wrong with that. You worked for it. You've bought it. You may even sacrifice to get it. You may have done all sorts of things to earn it. And it's yours. There's really nothing wrong. This is kind of a benign one. But when we start holding on too tight, when we start clinging to these things, it can become a problem. It can become a thing. Why don't you write the word selfishness down here for this one? Just write it somewhere. Because it's kind of like, our world. It's my stuff. I've accumulated and it's mine and I've earned it and I deserve it and it's mine and I'm going to keep it. I'm going to hang on to it. That's why we have all these rental storage units around here. It's mine. Have you ever moved and not opened a box for 2-3 years? Anybody? I have. Come on. I mean, am I the only one like that? Yeah. Because it's mine. But you need to know, I came about this the right way. My dad's garage is the same as mine, all right? And I had a good teacher. Just hanging on to stuff because it's mine. I bought it. I paid for it. I enjoy it. There might be a day when I need it. And I just save everything, and I'm going to hang on to it. Look at what the scripture says. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. But in humility can count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Do we hang on to things? Is it mine? And like I said, this is not necessarily bad, but it can be a problem if we cling. I heard a story this week. There was an old guy, and he's aging out. He's about to pass away. And he's fairly significantly wealthy. And so he tells his wife that when he dies, that he wants her to bury the money with him. That you put it in the box and put it in the casket with him. And so he does pass away. And everybody's wondering, is she going to do it? What is she going to do? They're all at the funeral. They're all there. The open casket is there. And they're sitting around. And they're just kind of watching. And she has a box sitting in her lap. And so after everybody goes through and everybody's kind of standing around, she walks up to the casket and tells her husband goodbye, and she places this box in the casket and watches the guy close it. And then she just, waddles on out of the room. And so they're out kind of out in front of the mortuary kind of visiting with one another, just talking and visiting. And they knew what he had said, and they knew what was going on, and they go. And so one of her friends come up and said, "Did you honor his wishes?" And she goes, "What do you mean?" She goes, "He said that he wanted you to bury him with all his money and all of that." She goes, "Well, yeah, that was his desire. So, yeah, I buried him with all his riches and all, I put it in the box. I wrote him a nice check and put it in the box." Yeah, he got all his, it's mine. I'm going to take it with me. I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to keep it. Do we have that attitude? Do we have that attitude? It's mine. And I'm going to hang on. And I've worked for it, and I deserve it. And like I said, that's not necessarily bad. We did earn it. I did buy that. I did pay for that. I did sacrifice to get that. And it's mine. But do I hang on too tight? Do I cling to it? As we look at these, and it's kind of like, what about our attitude? Is what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. No, I'm not going to rob you, and no, I'm not a thief, but man, I can covet. I can have greed. I can envy. I can say it's not fair. Or we can go to this where it's mine and I'm going to keep it. You know, what's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to hang on to it and, you know, white knuckles and nobody's going to take it from me. You know. But there's another one. And I think we're going to move on. And as you see that story, did you see that in the priest and the Levite? You know, religious leaders, supposed to be good men. They're God-fearing men. These are God-fearing men that were clinging to stuff and hanging on stuff and things. You know, and do we get that way sometimes? But then there's the last one I put here is, what is mine is yours, and I'm going to give it. What is mine is yours, and I'm going to give it. Do we have an openness with our stuff? Do we have this spirit of generosity with our stuff? You see in this story of the Good Samaritan, you see the Samaritan who shared his donkey. I think about that. I shared that with you last week. He didn't ride the donkey. He put the guy on the donkey and he walked. That's my donkey. Why can't I ride? Yeah. He paid for the guy's room and board. He was willing to pay more when the guy needed more assistance when he came back by. It messed up his schedule. It messed up his day. He was generous with his finances. He was generous with his time. He's generous with his stuff. How did he bandage the guy up? He did. I don't know how many walk around carrying a first aid kit in that day. So where did he get the bandages? Did he tear up his clothes? What did he do? Yeah. This guy was generous. And so the word I want to put here is I want to write the word blessing. Kind of goes along with this idea. It is more blessed to what? Anybody? It's more blessed to than to. You guys are good. You know your Bible. That's there. Jesus said it. We'll look at it again later. So you can quote scripture. You didn't know it, did you? Yeah. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's about sharing. It's about giving. And some of us are here, and some of us, you know. Some of you could probably give testimony how good it makes you feel to give. You know, that you've given something away, that you've shared from that abundance, and that it just felt good. There's just a feeling in you, and it just feels like the right thing to do. Have you ever sat around and talked to somebody, it just feels like the right thing to do, and you share that? You know, and we're called to this generosity. Let's look at these three scriptures with me real quick. We're just going to look at three scriptures. God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. God's going to bless those who share. God's going to care for those who share. God's going to stay close to those who share. To those who are generous, God's going to stay close. Look at the next one. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I like that. When you give, it's going to be given back. When you share, you're going to get refreshed. It's not like, well, I'm just passing it through. It's like I pass it through and then I get refreshed too. I'm not depleting my refreshment. I'm not depleting my energy. I'm not depleting my resources. It's just passing through. I'm blessed. You're blessed. I'm blessed. I see this as a circle. Anybody know what, you know, just kind of an endless circle? You know, blessed, blessing, blessed, blessing. I'm blessed. I'm blessing. Blessed, blessing, blessed. I just see a circle here. And God refreshes. Look at the next scripture. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord, who he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. See, I told you you could quote scripture and didn't even know it. It's more blessed to give than receive. Being generous. Can we be generous? And I like that word. Why don't you circle these words on this one? Not the bottom part about blessed. See the words working hard? Why don't you circle those words? Because you know what? It's not natural to give things away. It's not natural to be generous. It takes work. You got to work at it to be generous and to share. And I see this in our lives, and I just want to challenge us. Where am I at in this? You know, if I look at this, where am I at? You know, I've never beat anybody up to take what they have yet. I haven't done that. Yet, I hope I never do. I don't plan on it, you know, but if you tempt me with something one of these days, I might, you know, jealousy and envy could creep in. You know, so I don't think what yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. I don't know. I don't think I'm there right yet. You know, but what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. That fits sometimes pretty good. What's mine is yours, and I'm going to give it, you know, let's say 70% what's mine is mine, I'm going to keep it, and 30% what's mine is yours. I don't know. You know, where do we fit into this? How does this all play out? You know, what's my attitude about all of this? It's all about attitude. It's not about what I have or what I don't have or what I want or what I like or how much or how little. It's about my attitude about all of this. And I want to challenge us in this area. So what am I going to do about it? What will I do? I gave three things here. I want three responses you can do. And yeah, I'm going to talk about giving and tithing, and I'm going to talk about time and all of that, and gifts and different things like that. But here's just three, and we're all in these three somewhere, all right? Now, honestly, you're going to have to be. I'll tell you now, one of these three, you're in here somewhere, all right? We all in here somewhere. So let's look at this. The first one I put here is, do what I should do. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do what I'm told to do. I'm going to do what I'm commanded to do. I'm going to do what I should do. Why don't you write the word obedience out there somewhere? Just put the obedience out there. I'm going to obey. Whatever it says, I'm going to do exactly what it says. No more, no less. I'm going to obey. And here's what the scripture says. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God says, I'm going to bless you, and in return, just share with me 10% of what you have. That's what he says. I'm going to bless you. Is that it? I'm going to bless you, and then share with me 10%. That's all I'm. And God asked us to tithe. He asked you to tithe to the church, not to some organization, not to some charity somewhere. He says you tithe to the church. Now, for some of us, we've been practicing that. Not a question. For some of you, this is a challenge. This is hard. I've always remembered one of my teachers talking about his brother. He became active in the church, and he's one of the professors at Golden Gate Seminary. And so he started tithing when it was just a quarter, you know, and so he's given his quarter as a child. And he grew up tithing all through life, and he never thought about it, you know, just 10%, 10%, 10%. He just tithed all his life. And as his income went up, he just 10% all through life. Well, then his brother, he finally leads his brother to the Lord, and his brother becomes a Christian. And his brother is, you know, making a good income as an adult. Now, all of a sudden, as an adult, 10% is a lot of money. Yeah. And his brother talked about, and the challenge. And it is a challenge. Yeah. But I'm going to obey. This is what God said. This is what God had asked me to do. And I'm going to obey. I'm going to invest. And it says, test me. This is one of the places God says you can test him. You know, some churches do this. I've thought about this, Ron. I haven't proposed it yet, Ron. Ron, who handles and deals, and the trustees, Martha and Linda. Some of the churches are giving you a three-month test. Tithe for 3 months, and if you are not blessed and you don't feel God is taking care of you, we'll give you back your 3 months' worth of tithe. You know, and I've thought about it. I'm going, well, I don't know. You know, but do we trust God? I don't know. You know, I'll throw it out there. You trustees got to wrestle with that one. You know, but are we willing? Are we willing to trust God? It's an invest. Now, I've said this, and I can't find biblical foundation for this, but I've often, and I've counseled people, and it's like, yeah, I know 10%. Now, truthfully, do it. But I said, my comment is, right now, if that's not possible, give a percentage. Just say, I'm going to start at 2%. I'm going to start at 3%. And then I'm going to work my way up to 10%. That's not biblical, but I don't know how else to do it. Now, if you go with some of the Christian teachers on finances, I'm trying to think of their name, Crown Ministries, David Ramsey. They go, you give to the church, and then you have to figure all that other stuff out. You know. So I'm just going to challenge, is this an area for you? We're all in different places, okay? And we're all different places. This is an area. What about your time? What about your time? You know, as you do this. And when you put God first, does it make a difference? When you put God first, how does he work in this? But I want to look at another one, because some of us are already here, all right? And like I say, you guys are a generous church, and I never ask Ron, and nobody tells me who's tithing, who's not tithing. I don't get into that area. I'm just telling you what God's word says, all right? That's what God's called me to do. Number two is this. Do what I could do. I'm going to do what I could do. I'm already doing that. I'm already doing this. I'm already here in this area. But I'm going to take a little bit more, and I'm going to do that and a little bit more. I'm going to go another step. I'm going to put the word sacrifice here. Write that word sacrifice here. And again, I know many of you did this when we did our building campaign. I know many of you stepped up and you sacrificed. I remember one of our members quit smoking so he could have money and took his cigarette money to give to the building fund. And I've never forgot that. He was willing, you know, it's like, I want to quit anyway. This has helped me motivate me. And he made that decision. And he was sacrificed. We need to think about that sacrifice. Are we willing to give? Look what the scripture says. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service in the Lord's people, to the Lord's people. They just wanted to share. It was something in them that wanted to share. And again, I want to tell you, don't just always think about your finances. You know, there's other things, you know. Donuts for the pastor on Sunday morning. You know, you can stop by and, you know. It was nice. I went down to work on the building and one of the sheetrockers came in with donuts. I had forgot I had one. You know, I'm trying not to, but I did. I know. I told him yesterday I hadn't had one in a long time. I told the worship team, but I was thinking now I did have one. This last week they brought donuts in. You know. Not everybody bring donuts next week, but I wouldn't mind one or two. Yeah. But I mean, can we do things that share? You know, you see a need, you see something out there, and yeah, you're already doing this part over here. You're faithful over here to God and his church and his ministry. But now you see other opportunities to serve, other opportunities to minister. You know, the gospel mission. You know, other ways that you can give your time or your finances or maybe from something you have. Have you ever had anything that somebody else could use and you share that with them? I've never forgot one day we were at Golden Corral. We wanted to try the Golden Corral. And so we're over there eating at Golden Corral. And we're visiting with our waitress. It was a woman, young college girl. And you know me, I'm kind of quiet. I don't say much. And I just kind of sit there. Well, that's not me. So I'm talking with her, and we're sharing with her, and she's telling us some of the story. And you know, she's working two jobs. I'm trying to remember the whole story. She was working two jobs. Her mother was sick. All sorts of issues going on. Plus, she's going to college. And we're hearing the story, and we're talking the story. So when we got ready to leave, we were there with some of our family, our daughter and them, and we're all there. We left a little extra in our tip because we've seen this young girl who had all this stuff she's trying to juggle. And all these things she's trying to do. It had nothing to do with church. It had nothing to do with the gospel. Here's this young girl who I can't remember who was sick in her family. She's dealing with the sickness, and she's dealing with this, and she's got all this stuff going on. So I just felt, we were talking at our table, and Jennifer and I shouldn't have said Jennifer, but yeah, our daughter and them, we're all talking. And it's like, what are we going to do? So we left a little extra in our tip. You know, we tipped above and beyond because we seen a need that this young girl had. I go get a haircut at the California Beauty College. You know, they raised it to $7 now. I don't know what I'm going to do. It was nice when it was $3. It was nice when it was $3. Then they went to $5. Now they're at $7. Yeah, it's going to cost me $9 because I always give a $2 tip. You know, it's like, that's not a lot, but I said, at least you can get a soda and have a soda during your break. You know, because they don't get paid to cut the hair. They're learning, as you can tell. She cut it short. But I, you know what I'm saying? Do you see these opportunities that you can minister, that you can serve? Is there something you have that you can share, that you can give away? Is there something beyond? Yeah, I'm at the basic level. I'm doing well here. Now it's time to step up over here. And so I want to challenge you. You know, is it your time? Is it some of your stuff that you're clinging to? Is it the 10%? Is it the, I don't know. You know, where are you at? And the last one, I put it this way. Do what I would do. Do what I would do. Let me word it this way. God, if you bless me, I will bless others. God, if you bless me with this, I will bless them with this. You know, you're kind of, I wrote the word blessed here. God, as you bless me, I'm going to bless others. I'm not going to be a bucket. I'm going to be a funnel. God, I'm going to be that funnel that you can funnel things through. That things can go and pass through my hands to somebody else. And I'm going to be that blessing to others. And I'm going to share from my abundance and give what I can give and go beyond what I have. You know, because I don't know about you. This is a challenge because I always have wants. Anybody? I always have wants. I always have things I need, you know. I never have enough. You know, there's always something new, something more, something bigger. You know, it's always out there. But can I be a channel of blessings? As a matter of fact, I think there was a song, Make Me a Channel of Blessings, that in the hymn book that we used to sing out of. You know, what a wonderful idea. Look what the scripture says. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply. Now who, let me stop right there. The he here is God. God supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Do you see the picture? He said, God's going to bless us so that we can bless others. God's going to make me a channel of blessings. God's going to use me as a tool to bless others. And then it says, for his glory, not ours. And again, I am sure there are some of you sitting here who could tell stories of how God had blessed you with something and you just let it pass right through your hands to someone else. And you've seen somebody else's life blessed because you just happened to be a channel that God used. I'm sure there's some of you that had that experience, that you were just at the right time, at the right place. And, you know, like I say, I always have this. And God does these kind of things, and he works in these kind of ways. And I feel I'm blessed. I look at my life, and, yeah, there's more things I want.
I The I